I want to invite your attention this morning to the book of Daniel. Daniel is in the Old Testament. He's right behind the major prophets. Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel. If you got Hosea, you've gone too far. If you get some of those other names that you can't pronounce, you've gone too far. The book of Daniel is the text of our study this morning, and I'm going to begin to read in the second chapter. Now, I have a good deal of scripture to read this morning, for I'm not the best storyteller in the world, and I'm certainly not as good a storyteller as the Word of God is, so I'm going to take the story directly from the Word and comment on it as we go. If you have your Bibles with you, and I hope that you do, I trust that you'll follow along with me. I want to tell you the story this morning of a man, a great man from out of history, a man who was confronted with the truth of the great God Jehovah. However, in experiencing the personal ministry of God and the truth, this man erred. He made a tragic mistake. The reason I want to share his story today is not so that we might know what he did, but so that we might be sure we're not doing the same thing. Because there are many today, hundreds, no doubt millions, perhaps some right in this room, who are making the very same mistake as this great man did. The man's name is Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar is one of the greatest men, secularly speaking, who ever lived. He was the king of the Babylonian Empire, and his armies and his empire had conquered the then known world. He was the most important single man on the face of the earth at that time in the world's eyes. Nebuchadnezzar was a powerful man. He had anything and everything at his disposal. He was so powerful that God had used him to execute judgment on God's own people, Israel. Nebuchadnezzar's armies had come into Israel and had taken Israel captive. Among the captives who were now living in Babylon were four young Hebrew men by the name of Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Nebuchadnezzar renamed these young men Daniel Belteshazzar, Hananiah he named Shadrach, Mishael he named Meshach, and Azariah he named Abednego. In the course of time, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. Daniel and his three friends had become advisors to the king. And he was part of the entourage that provided wisdom for the king. Among them were what is known in that day as the Chaldeans. They were enchanters, sorcerers, magicians, and they were very valuable to the court to assist in advising the king. As I said, in the course of events, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And the second chapter of the book of Daniel is the record of that dream. And what happened? Now, I want to take you through the story. I'm going to read the entire story. You follow along in your Bible. We'll comment as it is appropriate. And in the second year of the reign of Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar dreamed dreams, wherewith his spirit was troubled and his sleep brake from him. Then the king commanded to call the magicians and the astrologers and the sorcerers and the Chaldeans for to show the king his dreams. So they came and stood before the king. And the king said unto them, I have dreamed a dream, and my spirit was troubled to know the dream. Then spake the Chaldeans to the king in Syriac, O king, live forever. Tell thy servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation. The king answered and said to the Chaldeans, the thing is gone from me. In other words, I cannot remember the dream. If ye will not make known unto me the dream with the interpretation thereof, ye shall be cut in pieces and your houses shall be made a dunghill. But if ye show the dream and the interpretation thereof, ye shall receive of me gifts and rewards and great honor. Therefore show me the dream and the interpretation thereof." They responded in an obvious manner. They answered again and said, "Let the king tell his servants the dream, and we will show the interpretation of it." The king answered and said, "I know of certainty that you would gain the time, you're stalling, because ye see the thing is gone from me. But if you will not make known unto me the dream, there is but one decree for you, for ye have prepared lying and corrupt words to speak before me till the time be changed. Therefore tell me the dream, and I shall know that ye can show me the interpretation thereof." The Chaldeans answered before the king and said, "There's not a man upon the earth that can show the king's matter. Therefore there is no king, lord, nor ruler that asks such a thing at any magician or astrologer or Chaldean. And it is a rare thing that the king requireth. And there is none other that can show it before the king except the gods, whose dwelling is not with flesh." For this cause the king was angry and very furious and commanded to destroy all the wise men of Babylon. The decree went forth that the wise men should be slain, and they sought Daniel and his fellows to be slain. Then Daniel answered with counsel and wisdom to Arioch, the captain of the king's guard, which was gone forth to slay the wise men of Babylon. He answered and said to Arioch, the king's captain, "Why is the decree so hasty from the king?" Then Arioch made the thing known to Daniel. Then Daniel went in and desired of the king that he would give him time and that he would show the king the interpretation. Then Daniel went to his house and made the thing known to Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah, his companions, that they would desire mercies of the God of heaven concerning this secret, that Daniel and his fellows should not perish with the rest of the wise men of Babylon. Then was the secret revealed unto Daniel in a night vision. Then Daniel blessed the God of heaven. Daniel answered and said, "Blessed be the name of God forever and ever, for wisdom and might are his. And he changeth the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge to them that know understanding. He revealeth the deep and secret things. He knoweth what is in the darkness, and the light dwelleth with him. I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who hast given me wisdom and might, and hast made known unto me now what we desired of thee, for thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter." And so Daniel and his friends had prayed, and God had answered that prayer and had given to Daniel in a night vision the dream and also the interpretation thereof, and we hear Daniel's praise. Verse 24. "Therefore Daniel went in unto Arioch, whom the king had ordained to destroy the wise men of Babylon. He went and said thus unto him, 'Destroy not the wise men of Babylon, bring me in before the king, and I will show unto the king the interpretation.' Then Arioch brought in Daniel before the king in haste, and said thus unto him, 'I have found a man of the captives of Judah that will make known unto the king the interpretation.' The king answered and said to Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, 'Art thou able to make known unto me the dream which I have seen, and the interpretation thereof?' Daniel answered in the presence of the king and said, 'The secret which the king hath demanded, cannot the wise men, the astrologers, the magicians, the soothsayers, show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and maketh known to King Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the visions of thy head upon thy bed are these.'" And Daniel goes on to give him the substance of the dream, where the king had dreamed of a great image, a great idol with a head of gold and then silver and bronze and iron and clay and so on down through the remainder of his body. "Thou, O king, sawest, and behold, a great image." Verse 33. "This great image, whose brightness was excellent, stood before thee, and the form thereof was terrible. This image's head was of fine gold, his breast and his arms of silver, his belly and his thighs of brass, his legs of iron, his feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon his feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them to pieces. Then was the iron, the clay, the brass, the silver, and the gold broken to pieces together and became like the chaff of the summer threshing floors. And the wind carried them away, and no place was found for them. And the stone that smote the image became a great mountain and filled the whole earth. This is the dream, and we will tell the interpretation thereof before the king. Thou, O king, art a king of kings, for the God of heaven hath given thee a kingdom, power, and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men dwell, the beasts of the field and the fowls of the heaven hath he given into thine hand, and hath made thee ruler over them all. Thou art this head of gold. And Daniel relays to the king that the reason he's king and the reason that his empire is so great is because the great God Jehovah had given these things into his command and into his charge. And the reason of his greatness was that God, the God of heaven, the God Jehovah, the God of Israel, Isaac, Jacob, Abraham, is the one who had made Nebuchadnezzar great. And we'll skip down, if we may, to the 44th verse where in the interim here, Daniel is instructed to tell the king and does so that these different parts of the image represent different kingdoms which are going to come after Nebuchadnezzar's kingdom. Verse 44, "And in the days of these kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom, which shall never be destroyed, and the kingdom shall not be left to other people. But it shall break in pieces and consume all those kingdoms, and it shall stand forever. For as much as thou sawest that the stone was cut out of the mountain without hands, and that it break in pieces the iron, the brass, the clay, the silver, and the gold, the great God hath made known to the king what shall come to pass hereafter. And the dream is certain, and the interpretation thereof is sure. Then the king Nebuchadnezzar fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel." Now notice that. Daniel said, God has made you a ruler. And it's God's kingdom that will eventually do in every earthly kingdom and come an eternal kingdom. And Nebuchadnezzar knew that he had heard the correct interpretation, and he fell upon his face and worshiped Daniel and commanded that they should offer an oblation and sweet odors unto him, make a sacrifice to Daniel. The king answered unto Daniel and said, "Of a truth it is that your God is a God of gods, and a Lord of kings, and a revealer of secrets, seeing thou couldest reveal this secret." Now, if we read the 47th verse, and only the 47th verse, it would appear that Nebuchadnezzar is receiving here a conversion. Here is a man who has many gods. He's a pagan and has worshipped a pantheon of gods. He's got gods for every one of his needs. But here, when he was confronted with a desperate situation, one which none of his gods could handle, he has an experience with the living God. And the great God of heaven answers that need. Nebuchadnezzar acknowledges him as the God of gods. You see it? This God is higher than all the other gods. He is a lord or a master of all kings. And he revealed secrets. Now keep that in mind. That will be important to us a little later on. Then the king made Daniel a great man and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief of the governors over all the wise men of Babylon. Then Daniel requested of the king, and he set Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the affairs of the province of Babylon. But Daniel sat in the gate of the king. Now I want you to notice what Nebuchadnezzar did. God shows himself to Nebuchadnezzar to be God Almighty. And he shows all others to be imposters. That is, not able to meet his needs. Not able to help him in his time of distress. Nebuchadnezzar makes a confession of faith and says, this is God over all gods and Lord over all kings. but he does not pull down all his other gods. He does not give himself to the God Jehovah. He does not establish Jehovah as God over his own personal life, nor over the life of his empire. Rather, the action that he takes is to lift up the man who brought God to him and make him a prince among his people. Now, I want to take you over to the fourth chapter, and I want you to see something here that happened about 30 years later. You would think that Nebuchadnezzar, having such a confrontation with God, would have been converted. You would think that he would have given himself wholeheartedly and without reservation to the God of Israel. What he said in the 48th verse of chapter 2 sounds real good. But Nebuchadnezzar did exactly what so many people are doing today. He gave lip service to God. And what he did, you're going to see in just a moment, was he added God to the list of other gods he already had. He never put God on the throne of his life. He simply added him to his collection of gods. A great many people today are doing exactly the same thing. They've had an experience with Jesus Christ. Perhaps they've prayed in a desperate set of circumstances, and they've asked Jesus to help them. And he has. And when he did, he revealed himself to be God of gods and Lord of kings. And so we say, well, that's good. I want him on my own side, on my side. And so we add him to the collection of gods that we've built. We never really commit ourselves to him. We never really make him Lord of our life. We never submit ourselves to him as king. We just add him to our collection. Nebuchadnezzar did the same. Daniel chapter 4, beginning to read in the 4th verse. I, Nebuchadnezzar, was at rest in mine house and flourishing in my palace. This is some 30 years later, best we can tell. I had it all together. I was flourishing. I was resting. Everything was cool. I had the world by the tail. I saw a dream, however, which made me afraid. And the thoughts upon my bed and the visions of my head troubled me. Therefore made I a decree to bring in, watch this now, all the wise men of Babylon before me. Now, 30 years ago, what was he going to do to these imposters? He ordered them killed. And so now he's got a problem. And what does he call for? He doesn't call for Jehovah. He calls for his false gods. He calls for his magicians and his sorcerers. I made a decree, bring all the wise men of Babylon before me, that they might make known unto me the interpretation of the dream. Then came in the magicians, the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers, all of those who escaped death by the grace of God. And I told the dream before them, but they did not make known unto me the interpretation thereof. The ones who previously could not tell the dream or the interpretation, now they know the dream, and they still can't give the interpretation. But at the last, Daniel came in before me, whose name was Belteshazzar, according to the name of my God, Nebuchadnezzar said. Not according to the name of my old God, but according to the name of my God. He named Daniel Belteshazzar after his god Bel. And here he declares Bel to be his God. And in whom, that is in Daniel, is the spirit, watch this, of the holy gods. G-O-D-S. Nebuchadnezzar's got a God for every situation. He's got a God for every need. He's got a God for every area of his life. He's got a God for every problem. And he recognizes that Daniel in him is a spirit that he attributes to the gods. Before him I told the dream, saying, O Belteshazzar, master of the magicians, because I know, here it is again, that the spirit of the holy gods is in thee, and no secret troubleth thee. Tell me the visions of my dream that I have seen, and the interpretation thereof. Thus were the visions of mine head in my bed. I saw and behold a tree in the midst of the earth, and the height of the tree therefore was great. And the tree grew and was strong, and the height thereof reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to the end of all the earth, and the leaves thereof were fair, and the fruit thereof much, and in it was meat for all, and the beasts of the field had shadow unto it, and the fowls of heaven dwelt in the boughs thereof, and all flesh was fed of it. And I saw in the visions of my head upon my bed, and behold, a watcher and a holy one came down from heaven. He cried aloud and said thus, Hew down the tree and cut off his branches, shake off his leaves and scatter his fruit, lest the beasts get away from under it and the fowls from its branches. Nevertheless, leave the stump of his roots in the earth, even with a band of iron and brass in the tender grass of the field, and let it be wet with the dew of heaven, and let his portion be with the beasts in the grass of the field. Let his heart be changed from a man's, and let a beast's heart be given unto him, and let 7 times or 7 years pass over him. This matter is by the decree of the watchers and the demand by the word of the holy ones, to the intent that the living may know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will and setteth up over it the basest of men. Now, Nebuchadnezzar remembered the dream. He remembered that the Holy One that he had seen come from heaven, this angelic being that in the dream came, it told him that the reason this is going to happen is so that the living may know that God Almighty, the Most High, reigns in the kingdoms of men. And that there's only one God and not many. But it didn't seem to matter to Nebuchadnezzar. He didn't seem to realize what was happening to him. He said, well, I believe in the God of Israel. I believe in the Jehovah of Daniel. Yes, I believe that he's real. I've had him touch my life. But Jehovah God did not have first place in Nebuchadnezzar's life. Nebuchadnezzar had lots of other gods, one for every purpose and one for every need. Verse 18. Daniel speaks, this dream I, King Nebuchadnezzar, have seen. This is Nebuchadnezzar still speaking. O Belteshazzar, declare the interpretation thereof, for as much as all the wise men of my kingdom are not able to make known unto me the interpretation, but thou art able, for the, here it is again, for the spirit, not of Jehovah God, not of the one true God, but of all the gods. Daniel, you're a religious person. I realize that you got religion in you. Do you know people like that? Then Daniel, whose name was Belteshazzar, was astonished for 1 hour, and his thoughts troubled him. The king spake and said, Belteshazzar, let not the dream or the interpretation thereof trouble thee. Belteshazzar answered and said, my lord, the dream be to them that hate thee, and the interpretation thereof to thine enemies. In other words, I don't want to tell you what this dream means. I wish it was for someone else, your enemies. However, the tree that thou sawest, which grew and was strong, whose height reached into the heaven, and the sight thereof to all the earth, whose leaves were fair, etc., etc., etc. Verse 22, it is thou, O king, that art grown and become strong. The tree is you. For thy greatness is grown and reacheth into heaven, and thy dominion to the ends of the earth. And he goes on to describe to him that when he saw in the dream the command to cut the tree down. Verse 24, this is the interpretation, O king, and this is the decree of the Most High, which has come upon my lord the king, that they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field, and they shall make thee to eat grass as oxen, and they shall wet thee with the dew of the heavens, and seven times or 7 years shall pass over thee till thou know. In the dream, it was said, till the living will know. Daniel said, God speaking to you personally, Nebuchadnezzar, till you know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. The Most High is an interesting name for God. The Most High means who's higher? Nobody. Most High is higher than more high. Most High is the highest. And the name that was given to Jehovah in the dream, and Daniel repeats, says to Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar, you can't have all these gods. You cannot have Jehovah as one of your gods. It won't work. He's either the one and only, or he's not any. You can't mix God Almighty up with all the rest of your gods. He will not take a complimentary spot in your life. He will either take first place or he'll take no place. He'll either take the only place or no place. Don't you know this yet? Nebuchadnezzar didn't know it. Verse 27, wherefore, O king, let my counsel be acceptable unto thee, Daniel said. Break off thy sins by righteousness. Give yourself to this God. Find right standing with him. And thine iniquities by showing mercy to the poor, if it may be a lengthening of thy tranquility. In other words, if you want this peace and rest and this flourishing that you've been enjoying, if you want that to continue, you're going to have to change some of your doing, man. You must make God number one and give him a priority place in your life, to the exclusion of all of these other gods in which you have placed your trust and confidence. If you don't, you will no longer have tranquility, you will no longer have rest, and you will no longer flourish. If you want that to lengthen, you must make the God of Israel, the one true God, you must make him God of your life. Now, there are a great many today who are professing Christians, and I'm going to tell you the kind of gods they have. They have Jesus. He's the God that gets them into heaven. They got Dr. God. He's the God that heals their body. They have Job God. He's the one that provides the financial means. They got Wife God, and she's the one that makes them happy. They have house God, and that's the one that keeps them dry in when it's raining. And they have self God, which is probably the most powerful of all. Now, those are just a handful of the gods that the people of today have on their list. God says, you better take white out to everyone on that list but me. I will not allow you to include me in a pantheon of gods in which you put your trust. Now, there's nothing wrong for a man having a doctor. There's nothing wrong with a man having a wife. There's nothing wrong with a man having a house or a job. But if your job is your source of financial property, prosperity, then it's a god to you. If your house is your source for protection from the elements, then that is a god to you. If your doctor is the source of your good health, then that is a god to you. Just as surely as Nebuchadnezzar had a whole parcel of gods. When he wanted to know about the weather, he called the weather god. When he wanted to know about his health, he called his health god. When he wanted to know about his business, he called his business god. And when he couldn't get any answers for his dreams, he called the one true God who would have taken care of all the rest of those things for him if he'd have called on him in the first place. That's exactly the way many are living today. God Jehovah is a God of last resort. Now, Nebuchadnezzar had a wonderful opportunity right here to say, "Yay, yay, 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 yay. How dumb I have been. Daniel, you are right, right, right. All these years have gone by and I forgot what God did for me back there. And here I am in the same fix again and I'm going the same dumb way again. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for warning me. Thank you, Lord, for caring enough about me to chastise me. Thank you, Lord, for caring enough about me to catch me before I was too far gone." But he didn't. Watch what he did in verse 28. "All this came upon the king Nebuchadnezzar. At the end of 12 months, a year has gone by. Daniel has given him the interpretation of the dream, told him what was going to happen. A year has gone by, and apparently it's gone from his mind. At the end of 12 months, he walked in the palace of the kingdom of Babylon. The king spake and said, 'Is not this great Babylon that I have built?'" What did God tell him? Everything he has came from God. Nebuchadnezzar says, "I built this for the house of the kingdom by the might of my power and for the honor of my majesty." While the word was in the king's mouth, there fell a voice from heaven saying, "O King Nebuchadnezzar, to thee it is spoken, the kingdom is departed from thee. And they shall drive thee from men, and thy dwelling shall be with the beasts of the field. They shall make thee to eat grass as oxen. And 7 times shall pass over thee until thou know that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will." The same hour was the thing fulfilled upon Nebuchadnezzar, and he was driven from men and did eat grass as oxen, and his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till his hairs were grown like eagle's feathers and his nails like bird's claws. Can you imagine that happening to the most powerful man on the face of the earth? "And at the end of the days, I, Nebuchadnezzar, lifted up mine eyes unto heaven, and mine understanding returned unto me," that is at the end of 7 years, "and I blessed the Most High." I guess you would. "And I praised and honored" who? Daniel? No. "Him that liveth forever, whose dominion is an everlasting dominion, and his kingdom is from generation to generation, and all the inhabitants of the earth are reputed as nothing." Would Nebuchadnezzar have included himself as an inhabitant of the earth? Yes. I guess after living 7 years without a haircut, and without ever clipping your nails and having long claws and hair that was like bird's feathers and eating grass like a cow and sleeping on the ground and being wet with the dew every morning, I guess it would get through to you. "And he doeth according to his will in the army of heaven and among the inhabitants of the earth, and none can stay his hand or say unto him, 'What doest thou?' Where does the tiger sleep? What does God do?" You got it. "At the same time, my reason returned unto me, and for the glory of my kingdom, mine honor and brightness returned unto me. My counselors and my lords sought unto me, and I was established in my kingdom, and excellent majesty was added unto me." Did God want to take those things away from him? Does God want to take away from you that which is good in your life? No, he doesn't. But he wants you surrendered to him, and he wants first place in your life. And if he does not have it, everything you have is subject to go. Now, the minute that Nebuchadnezzar gave himself to God without reservation and wiped his hands of all of these other gods and said, the inhabitants of this earth are like nothing to the Most High God, and in him I put my trust and my confidence, and I bless him and I praise him and I honor him, God restored his sanity. God restored his honor, God restored his kingdom, God restored his place, God restored his majesty, he restored everything but his pride, and he restored everything but his gods. Verse 37, now, in light of these circumstances, and since I have now made a personal commitment to God, I, Nebuchadnezzar, now praise and extol and honor the King of heaven, all whose works are truth, and his ways judgment, and those that walk in pride he is able to abase. Do you know when Moses went down to Egypt? And he performed the great miracles in Egypt? Few of us know because Moses didn't make a big deal out of it, but there's one verse in Exodus where God, Jehovah, is speaking to Moses, and he said, when you go down there to Egypt, I'm going to make judgment on all the gods of Egypt. And I'm going to show all of those pagan gods for exactly what they are, nothing. That's what he did to Pharaoh. That's what he did to the Egyptians. And that's what he did to the Israelites. He gave evidence there once, twice, three times, four times, 10 times that he was the Almighty God, and beside him there is no other. You cannot have Jesus Christ as your Lord in company with other gods. To be a Christian, Jesus must be Lord of all. For if he is not Lord of all, he's not Lord at all. And you're kidding yourself. I lived most of my adult life in that condition. The first 37 years of my life, oh, I believed in Jesus. Oh, sure, I'd tell you all about it. I could tell you how he died for me and how he purchased my forgiveness and provided for me salvation. But I also had a whole list of other gods in whom and in which I put my trust. And the one that was highest on the list was this one. In August of 1975, I decided to take the page on which I had all my gods listed and wipe them all off and put Jesus on there. He changed my life. Isaiah 44 and 6 says, thus saith the Lord, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts, I am the first, I am the last, and beside me there's no God. I don't know a better way to say it. Jesus said, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I'm the end. There's nothing in between. I'm it. Isaiah 44 and 8, God speaks through the prophet Isaiah, is there a God beside me? Yea, there's no God. I know not any. I like that. I don't know of any. Well, if he doesn't know him, I sure don't want to put my confidence in him. Isaiah 42 and 8, I am the Lord, that is my name. And my glory will I not give to another, neither my praise to graven images. When Jesus was here on the earth, the Jews came to him. One fellow in particular was a lawyer. He was skilled in the law of Moses, in the Jewish law. And he said, Master, what is the first commandment? Matthew records his question, what is the great commandment? What's the most important commandment in the Word of God? Jesus said, this is the first commandment. Hear, O Israel, The Lord our God is a page full of gods. What did he say? The Lord our God is one Lord. Only one. If you got more than one, you got none. When you go see your doctor, that's fine for you to see your doctor. Thank God for doctors. But doctors don't heal. Did you know that? Did you know doctors don't heal? God heals. He uses doctors. Thank the Lord for that. How many of you know that the company you work for could go bankrupt tomorrow? Some of you are wondering whether that may be exactly the... I don't want a God who can go bankrupt. I don't want one like that. There are 24,000 people who work for one of the most powerful corporations in our country who are losing their God in the next few months. Jesus said, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with half your heart." Well, with half your soul, with half your strength, with half your might.
Oh, no.
No, all of it. Now, if you're going to love God with all of your heart and all of your soul and all of your might and all of your strength, there's no reason, there's no nothing left there, you see, with which you may love another God. In Proverbs 3 and 5, Solomon says, "Trust in the Lord with most of your heart." All your heart. All your heart. You Christians really strike a hard bargain. It's the best bargain you could ever make. It's the best bargain you could ever make to give your all to Jesus Christ. I want you to ask yourself this morning, do I have any other gods in my life? Are my kids my gods? I know moms and dads who have kids on their God list. And they see their children as the source of their joy. I'm going to tell you, kids can disappoint you. I know people that have their bank account on their sheet of gods. And they get their peace by looking at their bank account and knowing that they're all right. I can tell you that after the Second World War, you had to wheel a wheelbarrow full of money to the grocery store to get one loaf of bread. It wouldn't take one day for everything you've got saved up to be worth nothing. Amen. Nothing. All it takes is for a few folks in Washington, and I'm talking about very few, to make one decision. Some folks have their Social Security check on their God list. What a horrible situation to be in. Horrible situation. Nebuchadnezzar learned a very important and a very powerful lesson. There is only one God. Every other God is an imposter. Every other God will let you down sooner or later in some way or another. Every other God is undependable. There's only one who's dependable, and that is Jesus Christ. If he's not your God, could I urge you this morning to give your life to him? After all, I don't want you eating grass with my cows. I don't want you with hair down to your ankles and claws for fingernails. I don't want you moping around a pasture like a crazy person on all fours. I don't want you standing out in the driving rain like an animal. You say, "Pastor, that's pretty far-fetched." I'm sure Nebuchadnezzar would have agreed to you prior to his 7-year experience. You say, Pastor, I don't believe that'll ever happen to me. Maybe not. I don't know. But something like it will. I know what God requires. He'll either be alone your God, or he'll not be your God at all. Would you stand, please, for prayer?